Welcome back to the Bryant Park Project from NPR News, online all the time at npr.org/Bryant Park. The Germans have a word for it. The Germans have a word for everything, including the tendency of the ring-tailed lemur to be attracted to the oak tree. It's 17,000 letters long. But the German word in this case is Zeitgeist. It means the spirit of the time. We at the BPP have another word for it, and in the same vein, we call it the most. What it is a collection of the most emailed, most viewed, most everything, everywhere, especially on the internet. Luckily, they keep tabs on this. And Dan Pashman.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty well.
You've been keeping tabs on what they've been keeping tabs on.
Always.
So, you read to us from what, a tab?
Yes, of a tab.
Well, it's actually the New York Times, isn't it?
Yes.
It's more broadsheet.
I get it in tab form.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
They tabletize it for you?
Yes, they do.
Do they rewrite the headlines with words like His Honor and Slavic?
Yes.
Okay.
I get a most email here from the New York Times science section. Cell phone tracking study shows we're creatures of habit. Good lead here on this article by John Schwartz. The first sentence, newsflash, we're boring. Basically,
you kept reading?
Yes, actually, ironically, made me want to read more.
Hmm.
Basically, what this study did is followed people in Europe around 100,000 cell phones. And they followed, basically, by looking at where they were making their calls from, followed the moving patterns of people. Where do they go? And what they found, more than anything else, is that people don't go far from home.
Mm-hmm.
We pretty much just stay in a small, localized area. And even when we go on vacation, we stay in one small, localized area. So we may make a big jump across continents, but we still end up in one small place and stay there.
Oh, you mean while on vacation?
While on vacation.
A huge leap, and then we stay in a little area.
Exactly. Ah. And so they do say, you might say, well, that seems kind of obvious, and that was one criticism that was brought up. But the researchers say that actually this work can be used for new frontiers like disease tracking and urban planning. But there is a bit of a controversy afoot in Europe over this study because they're upset about the actual tracking of cell phone calls that was done under questionable circumstances.
They didn't tell
people. Yeah, I can't blame them for that. That freaks me out a little bit.
Yeah, where do you go, Ian?
I pretty much come to work.
Yeah, if you don't go anywhere exciting, then you should have anything to hide.
Yeah,
that's true.
It's only people who go in strange, interesting places that would object to that survey.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. ACLU direct all complaints to them.
Mark, where do you go? Where do you go for your most?
In this case, it was most emailed at Yahoo News. Matt Martinez is kind of the senior among the producers of the world, and he's assigned me to this new beat of missing enormous structures. And so yesterday we had the missing lighthouse.
Uh-huh.
You'd think that'd be hard to lose. Today we have a missing pyramid, a real life-size pyramid. About 4,000 years ago, when it was made, somebody found it 200 years ago, and then it got lost, basically buried in sands, and apparently nobody bothered to make a map to find it again. They did dig it up this week. It was belonged to a kind of a B-list pharaoh, and so that's my. I mean,
he was a JV pharaoh.
He only ruled for 8 years, so that's my guess as to
total
why no one bothered to like write it down where this thing was.
Total Ramses the second wannabe.
Yeah.
So,
I just had an idea.
Yeah.
Maybe this is a new show for John Walsh.
Missing big things.
Yeah.
The world's most missing large objects.
It reminds me. Do you remember when David Copperfield made the Statue of Liberty disappear?
That's right.
That was awesome.
Yeah, that was good. There were no mirrors.
Thanks, Chris Farley.
Thanks, Chris.
Yeah. Why don't they just track the pyramid's cell phone usage? They could have found out that it hadn't traveled far. Trisha?
Hey, I have. I searched the Google Trends this morning, and number four search term this morning on Google was Sarkar Raj.
Who's that?
Is actually a film. It's a Bollywood film that is premiering today, and it stars, I'm going to try this pronunciation. I tried to verify it, so here I go. Abhishek Bachchan.
Ooh, you just said something very dirty in Hindi.
No, I don't think I did. And Amitabh Bachchan and Aishwarya Rai Bachchan. Why do they all have the same last name? They're this film dynasty in Bollywood.
Oh.
It's a father and son. And then Aishwarya Rai was a film star in her own right. I don't know if you know her. She's just the most beautiful woman I've ever seen.
Oh, yes.
And she married the son. So they're this power couple. The father is, I think, the top selling Hindi film actor of all time. And this one article I read, he's called Patriarch of Bollywood's First Family, all-time highest-grossing Hindi film star of 134 films, and he's the face of 20 brands, which I guess is important.
That's nice.
But anyway, so this film is it's actually got an interesting U.S. connection. It appears to be based on a real-life story. It's about the building of a big power plant in rural India. And so people are comparing it to the situation with Enron back in the 90s when they built that huge $2.8 billion power plant in rural India. And it's about a political figure and his son and this woman who comes into their life to try to persuade them to get involved with this power plant. So there's like this Enron thing going on. But wait, I have one more thing to say about this family. The son and Aishwarya Rai have apparently bought property in Dubai, because everything ends up in Dubai. So they bought this huge place last month. I thought that was interesting.
But when they go to Dubai, they won't be traveling far from their huge place. The cell phone service show.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Ian.
Hey.
Hey, dude.
This is a Most Sent from ABC. Mm-hmm. It's about this company, Daddy Dolls. And apparently kids that have, you know, a parent overseas, you know, young kids especially, have a really hard time with the separation, of course. So this company, they have these sort of 12-inch high dolls that have a photo image of the parent that's overseas on the doll. So it's like a miniature version of your parent. And then they have a little recording in it. So when you hug it, they're also called Hug a Hero dolls. When you hug it, you can hear the voice. And so, you know, I think especially when you're really young, you might get sort of the distance, kind of an out of sight, out of mind thing. And this sort of helps you maintain a connection to your parent.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's a good idea, I guess.
Yeah, it was started by two military moms who I guess have kind of seen this kind of thing.
I'm going to say military moms, you did wrong.
Okay. And to be clear, this is not the company that makes the She'll Call You Daddy dolls.
Yeah, no. Okay, that's something else.
Oh, thanks, Mark, for going there. I was just told, don't go there. And then Mark went there. Hey, Matt.
Hi.
We're going to go to you now.
Well, we started the show in 2006. We came back to 2008. Now we're going to go back to 2007. One of the most viewed stories at NPR.org right now, at number three on the list, is a story that aired almost a year ago by NPR's Chris Arnold. The headline is, You Try Being YouTube. I don't know why it popped up on the list right now, but it's about a company called Universal Tube getting confused with YouTube Online. It's gotten so bad that...
So it's a YouTube with a U, the letter U, versus the big YouTube with the Y-O-U.
Right, yeah. And Chris will explain this in a bit. It got so bad that Universal Tube filed a lawsuit against Google. They own YouTube, of course. They threw out most of the case, but here's Chris's piece from June 20th, 2007.
In a big warehouse outside of Toledo, Ohio, Ralph Gerkins is walking through his heavy equipment refurbishing operation. Welders are working on 40-foot-long pipe-making machines. They look sort of like giant green tractor engines.
Everything we're doing out here is machines that make tube and pipe.
Tube and pipe, and that's why Gerkins' company is called Universal Tube, or YouTube.
So this is kind of the other YouTube, I mean the first YouTube, right?
Yeah, this is the original YouTube.
That is YouTube spelled with the letter U for Universal Tube, not Y-O-U like the popular video site. Gerkins has had his YouTube.com website since 1996. It's a small company with just 15 employees. But over the past year, as the video YouTube site got popular, many web surfers trying to go there type in the wrong address and wind up on this company's website.
It's slowly built. We thought we were doing a great marketing job. But they weren't really looking for us.
Before YO YouTube came along, I mean, how many monthly visitors were you getting, you know, before that?
Oh, maybe 1,000 a month.
So, and those are like your real customers?
Those are our real customers.
Today, Gerken says there are about 150,000 people a day typing YouTube the wrong way and ending up on his site.
When we couldn't keep our server up, that's what happened.
You might not think that's such a big deal. This company's rebuilding industrial machinery. It's not exactly an internet company. But Gerken says 75% of his sales come in over the website. And with each one of these big tube-making machines costing a few $100,000, he just can't have his website going down. And there's just the nuisance factor. Some confused people looking for the YouTube videos call the phone number on this company's website.
They can't find the video and they don't know what they're doing. They're trying to download a video to our site. And how they would think that this is a video website, I have no idea.
Yeah, there's nothing too video about it. I mean,
no,
you go to the website, it's got pictures of machinery and stuff.
Just
right?
Big old green machines, you know.
Gerken says he's now paying upwards of $1,700 a month to pay for server space. And these unwanted visitors often fill out sales request forms seeking more information in a vulgar and belligerent manner. Exhibit 1 is a message left by one visitor who asks, quote, where the are the videos. $1.5 billion for this piece of website. Google got taken.
Just the people calling on the phone and then sending emails like that when Ralph wasn't here and I'd open them up. A lot of them were very, very rude.
Laura Smirin is a manager at the company who's gotten some of the phone calls and emails.
They were just nasty.
Ralph Gerkens has hundreds of them on his computer in his office. He sits down and scrolls through them. Some just repeat insults over and over.
Idiot, 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 idiot.
What does that have to do with anything?
It doesn't.
Meanwhile, Gerkens is trying to take advantage of the extra visitors to his YouTube site. He's got ads up selling ringtones or dating services to meet hot singles. Gerkens says so far the banner ads are covering his legal fees and website hosting costs.
And that was NPR's Chris Arnold reporting from the year 2007. You can get a link to that and all the stories you hear on the most on our website, npr.org.